With SDPB News, I'm Jackson Dirks. From federal trade policies to the weather, farmers and ranchers are well-versed in uncertainty. The Farm and Rural Stress Hotline is a resource to help ag producers cope with the many challenges of the job. SDPB's Jackie Hendry reports.
Carl Olke is a PA with Avera Behavioral Health in Sioux Falls, and he's a farmer. He knows firsthand what it means to stake his livelihood on uncertainty.
He can have a hailstorm come overnight and things are gone. It can happen slowly as prices erode, or it can happen very quickly that we've seen with tariffs and those types of concerns. The biggest thing, obviously, we're looking for is stability at some point in time.
The Farm and Rural Stress Hotline launched 6 years ago as a dedicated resource for a high-risk population. It can connect callers with mental health treatment options and other resources. Because it's anonymous, any data from the hotline is ambiguous at best. But Olke has noticed some recent trends.
I am definitely seeing higher levels of stress, anxiety, you know, more folks calling in that maybe even had been somewhat stable over the last couple years because things had been a little bit better.
Olke says being a farmer himself allows him to build quick connections with callers. His office in Sioux Falls is decorated with pictures of his combine and other equipment, and it catches clients' attention.
I've had more than one person say, "Oh, you actually farm? You know, I thought it was just a facade." I'm like, "No, I'm in the same boat you are. I'm wishing soybeans were worth more and my corn was worth more, and I know how much my line of credit is costing me in interest this year." So I know exactly where they're coming from, and that sets up, obviously, an ability for them to be more open with me, but also just, you know, you can almost see a calming, a relaxation that they're like, "Oh, this might not be as bad as I was anticipating."
Olke says the mission of the hotline is to remind ag producers they're not alone.
You know, I tell a lot of folks, you know, you ask your agronomist for help or you call the vet for help for certain things. Hey, it's okay to reach out for yourself, too.
The Farm and Rural Stress Hotline is free and available 24/7. I'm SDPB's Jackie Hendry in Sioux Falls.
November is here, and while temperatures are dipping, the state seems primed for its first taste of 2025 winter weather. SDPB's CJ Keene has more.
Long-term forecasts are predicting a colder, wetter winter compared to the unseasonably warm 2024, and that begins with a predicted winter weather event over the weekend in the Northeast. Carrie Flegel is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service Aberdeen Station.
We're looking at Friday night, a wintry mix of some rain and snow. Not a whole lot, mainly before people wake up on Saturday morning. Could be a dusting of snow on the ground, but ground temperatures are so warm right now that it's going to have a hard time sticking. Anywhere from the Leola Hills through potentially Aberdeen and more of those higher elevations of northeastern South Dakota, the Prairie Coteau area.
She says it's better to be prepared than caught out in severe weather.
It's a good reminder that winter's coming and it's time to slowly start preparing. Starting to put more of that winter safety gear into the vehicle. Just a healthy reminder the next few days.
That means keeping a kit in the car for when severe weather hits.
You know, definitely put the shovel in the vehicle, like a blanket, maybe a spare cell phone charger, have some snacks in there and just a flashlight or any other gear that you might need if you are on the road for a while and potentially get stuck.
You can monitor the latest road conditions across South Dakota on the Department of Transportation's website or by calling 511. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
The South Dakota Public Utilities Commission, the state's regulatory body over utilities, agrees to leadership changes. These come at the request of Chairman Gary Hansen. He was first elected to the PUC in 2002 and held the top leadership spot on multiple occasions. Hansen requested the leadership change as he began treatments for cancer detected during October.
It's become apparent that I will not be able to necessarily dedicate the proper amount of time to be chair because as chair we have certain requirements that we need to immediately take care of, and there may be some situations where I cannot.
Hansen spoke at the PUC's November 6th meeting, saying while he appreciates best wishes.
Every time I walk in and out of the building and I see those young kids and the challenges they have, mine are so minor compared to what they have. And I've been so incredibly fortunate that it really is no big deal for a 75-year-old with the life that I've had. It's so gratifying to know that I didn't suffer through the challenges that some of these very, very young children are going through.
Commissioner Chris Nelson is now chair and Commissioner Christy Feagin now vice chair of the PUC. Feagin and Nelson said they plan to keep the PUC running smoothly and keep him in their prayers. The South Dakota Highway Patrol says another saturation patrol in Sioux Falls rolled out as part of the Operation Prairie Thunder public safety campaign led to dozens of arrests. Patrols include coordination with the State Highway Patrol and members of city, county, and federal law enforcement targeting crime and unsafe activities on the roads. Department of Public Safety data shows over the last 3 days in October, the patrols resulted in 59 arrests. Of those, 38 had a drug charge. The patrol executed 8 felony-level warrants and 30 misdemeanor-level warrants. They also apprehended 2 parole absconders. The patrols also allowed DPS to contact Immigration's Customs Enforcement for immigration encounters. Of 14 individual ICE contacts, 8 were put in custody. Authorities say 9 people are facing charges in a cocaine distribution ring operating in Davison County. Attorney General Marty Jackley says 8 of the 9 suspects are from Mitchell, 1 is from Ethan. Each suspect is charged with conspiracy to distribute a controlled substance. That's punishable by up to 10 years in prison if convicted. Several face additional drug-related charges, including distribution in a drug-free zone. Investigators say the charges stem from drug operations between March and September of this year. Jackley says 3 of the suspects are from Guatemala and also face immigration charges. The DCI is working with federal authorities on the issue. South Dakota Urban Indian Health is receiving a 5-year contract worth $11 million from the Indian Health Service to operate clinics in Pierre and Sioux Falls. The $11 million contract is an appropriation earmarked only for urban Indian organizations and separate from federal funding that Indian Health Service receives. SD Urban Indian Health is a nonprofit healthcare clinic that aims to offer tribal and non-tribal members care that's, quote, culturally relevant and trauma-informed. SDUIH says it helps fill the gap for the more than 70% of all tribal members in the state who live away from their home reservation. Lieutenant Governor Tony Van Hyzen says legislators agree. Too many people who leave South Dakota's state prisons end up committing another crime that sends them back to prison within 3 years. Van Hyzen chairs the governor's Correctional Rehabilitation Task Force. The group is seeking innovative approaches for reducing the state's recidivism rate. In an interview with SDPB's Lori Walsh, he said everyone involved shares a common starting point.
We know we have this opportunity. We know we have this problem. We think we can do better. We want to find ways to do better. Nobody's coming to these meetings saying, no, don't look at programming. Recidivism is great. And there's no kind of other side to this. It's just what's the best pathway forward.
Task force subcommittees include tribal committees, faith-based programming, education and workforce training, and addiction treatment. Van Hyzen hopes dividing the work will lead to some quick wins in reducing recidivism rates. You can find the full interview at sdpb.org/news. South Dakota's farmers and ranchers face stressors that are often out of their control. The Farm and Rural Stress Hotline can connect them with mental health support and other resources. SDPB's Jackie Hendry checks in with Carl Olke. He's a physician's assistant with Avera Behavioral Health in Sioux Falls and works with the hotline. He's also a farmer with firsthand knowledge of the challenges producers are facing.
Yeah, I've done a number of talks, and you know, unfortunately, one of the biggest things that we look at is control and lack thereof. Unfortunately, the only thing a producer can control is how much work and effort they put in. And they put in a significant amount of work and effort to grow a crop or to raise a set of calves, to milk a herd of dairy cows. And unfortunately, that work just does not pay off a lot of times. That can happen overnight. You can have a hailstorm come overnight and things are gone. It can happen slowly as prices erode, or it can happen very quickly that we've seen with tariffs and those types of concerns. The biggest thing, obviously, we're looking for is stability at some point in time. And just knowing, you know, that we can, that work is going to be worth something, you know, that effort that we put in, looking forward at, you know, inputs, trying to work with, you know, especially seed, fertilizer, chemical right now for the ag producers. Those things are extremely high, and it is really hard to even pencil out a profit, especially on soybeans right now, unless we can open up some of those export markets. But a lot of times, a lot of the things that I've tried to champion ever since the Farm and Rural Stress Hotline opened is, you know, letting these folks know you're not alone. You know, these, a lot of times it can feel extremely minimizing to these folks that they have nowhere to look. You know, we are an outlet for them. You know, we have opportunities to help them. Resiliency, obviously, you know, is a word we use a lot in agriculture. You know, but a lot of times, you know, we look You know, I tell a lot of folks, you know, you ask your agronomist for help or you call the vet for help for certain things, hey, it's okay to reach out for yourself too. But unfortunately, that's the last person that a lot of those folks are worried about. They're more worried about that crop or that set of animals out there. But they do need to, the most important person on that farm is that producer.
Are you seeing a reflection in the call volume that is coinciding with a lot of these issues? What kind of, I don't know if there's a numbers piece or what kind of snapshot does the number of calls coming into the hotline, what kind of information does that give us about how farmers and ranchers are faring?
I would say I focus more on what I see as a clinician. You know, I am definitely seeing higher levels of stress, anxiety, you know, more folks calling in that maybe even had been somewhat stable over the last couple of years because things had been a little bit better. The data that we get from the hotline is obviously important. I think it's nice to see that we see consistent calling. But unfortunately, the data is somewhat ambiguous as well because of the anonymity that is embedded in the hotline itself. Folks aren't required to say that they're a producer, that they're connected to a producer. I've encouraged spouses, family members, bankers, insurance agents, anyone connected with ag, which pretty much all of South Dakota, as we know, to call the hotline. But maybe we're getting referrals from a primary care provider. Maybe that person is, you know, knew a friend and was just able to call directly to the clinic. I would say that as a whole, I think the hotline underestimates the stress levels that farmers do have, but it is always nice to see that we are getting consistent calls.
Can you speak a little bit more to, you know, you also run a farm. You understand firsthand what these folks are going through. Can you talk about how that helps you build rapport with the folks that call in?
I think that's probably one of the best things I have going for me is a lot of folks, there is a huge amount of anxiety and angst, you know, one, picking up the phone to either call our hotline, two, even getting to that appointment. I've had folks stop in the parking lot and never make it in the building that I've heard about later. I'm never just going to sit down and say, okay, lay it out for me. You know, what are you depressed about? You know, the first thing, you know, they're going to probably walk in my office. As you can see, they're going to see a picture of a combine, a picture of a truck, and they're going to, I've had more than one person say, oh, you actually farm? You know, I thought it was just a facade. I'm like, no, I'm in the same boat you are. I'm wishing soybeans were worth more and my corn was worth more. And I know how much my line of credit is costing me in interest this year. So I know exactly where they're coming from. And that sets up obviously an ability for them to be more open with me, but also just, you know, you can almost see a calming, a relaxation that they're like, oh, this might not be as bad as I was anticipating.
I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks, and that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.